Last time on Jonathan Park and the Red Menace.
I was told that scientists have found jellyfish fossils that lived over 500 million years ago. But now I think it's time for the world to hear the truth. This is your mission.
Mosny is about 200 miles north of Milwaukee.
I saw a bunch of men in old business suits and women being marched down the street by some soldiers.
What?
I've lived in Mosny for 65 years, and I've seen some weird things myself.
So when is Cornfetter going to take over?
Right after we shoot the mayor.
Basing our operation out of the library has been perfect.
Jonathan, I want you to go to the library right now and make sure your sister and Jesse are all right.
Jonathan, I'm so glad that you're here.
Me too.
Look at what we found.
The death of free America?
A woman dropped as she came up the stairs.
Come on, let's take a look down there.
Ow! Oh! I stepped on the floor bed and it broke through! I'm stuck!
Jonathan, please tell me you have Jesse free.
It won't budge.
You better find some way to hide then, because two people are heading towards the stairs.
What if they see us down here?
Shh! Here they come!
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Red Menace.
Jonathan, what are we going to do?
The tables! Crouch down, I'm gonna move one right over you.
Okay.
Like this. The cloth will hide you.
What about you?
I'll be under this one. Now,
So are you going to be part of the book raids tomorrow?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. How many more boxes of flyers do we need?
Just two, one each.
Oops, I dropped a stack. My hands are full, can you grab them? If you lift the table skirt, you'll see them.
Wait a minute.
What?
Does that want me censoring books now, too?
I don't know. Now, would you be willing to lift up that cloth and grab those flyers?
Sure. Oh, that's mine.
Timing's everything.
Hello? All right. Yes. Okay, we'll be right there.
What's happened?
That was our dictator. He's just arrived in town, and we're supposed to pick him up and meet the others at the mayor's office.
Okay, I'm right behind you.
Let's pick it up a little. We're going to be late.
Jesse! Jesse, they're gone!
Oh, that was close. Jonathan, we need to get out of here quick and tell our parents what we heard.
Jesse, we've got to get you free. I'm going to use my pocket knife to get you loose.
All right. I guess there's no other way.
So, how's your plan working?
It's going very well, Mr. Mayor. Have you met our communist leader, your replacement?
Cornfetter? Not yet, but I hear he's good.
The best, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate your cooperation with everything. It sure has made it easier.
No problem.
Good. And as a reminder, it'll be much better for this community if there's not a word about it or about the past until we're finished.
And then this place will be crawling with the media.
And we'll use them to promote our cause. Mayor, it's been nice working with you. We'll see you later tonight.
I'll be here.
Okay, now that we're safely back in our rooms, we need to talk about what's been going on around here.
Well, I know Jamal had that weird story.
Yes, and the boys had a strange encounter at the front desk. And while you guys were downstairs checking the messages, we just heard from Katie over our watches, and she said that Jonathan and Jesse found communist propaganda in the basement of the library.
What? Communist propaganda? What kind?
According to Jesse, there were flyers that denounced the reading of the Bible.
Why is it that communism and other anti-God governments always try to discredit the Creator's hand in the destiny of a nation?
They deny that He is in control.
And our founding fathers knew that. As a matter of fact, our government is divided into three branches. The judges, the lawmakers, and the president, the one who runs our country. And those branches are reflected in Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. They knew that this nation had to rely completely on our Creator.
Yeah, and until recently, our leaders openly acknowledged that. In 1892, the U.S. Supreme Court declared, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian."
Wow. We sure have drifted a long way from that. Imagine if the Supreme Court said something like that today.
Anyway, Jonathan and Jesse also heard the people in the library talking about censoring books and that a communist leader had just arrived in Mosny. If I didn't know better, it sounds like some communist leader is taking control.
Now, wait a minute, Angela. Come on, honey, think about it. That would be totally impossible. I mean, how could a leader overthrow a small town without the United States overpowering him? The whole idea sounds ridiculous.
I agree. But how do we explain what we've seen and heard?
So where do we go from here?
Well, Jim, let's remember our purpose. You and I've got to get back out to the quarry. And ladies, you said Jesse and Jonathan heard of a dictator that's here in town?
Yes, they even heard his name.
Have Katie research the guy and see what she finds. If it turns out to be something, I'll personally go to the mayor's office and get to the bottom of things.
That sounds fair enough to me.
All right. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you. All right, Kendall, shall we get Jonathan and head out to the quarry?
Sounds good. Let's go.
It feels nice to be back here and away from the town a bit.
Yes, things are a little strange there.
So, Dad, what is it you want to accomplish while we're out here this time?
Well, Jonathan, I'd like to start investigating this site to see if it better fits with the evolutionary scenario or with a worldwide flood.
What's the evolutionary scenario?
That's a great question, Jonathan. Now, remember, they believe this site is from the Upper Cambrian period more than 500 million years ago.
Remind me what the Cambrian period is, Dad.
Well, according to evolutionists, this period in the fossil record shows the appearance of many fully formed animals with no transitional fossils beforehand. They also believe that continental drift might have happened quickly during this period and that the oceans were shallow and widespread.
So what was supposedly going on right here during that time?
They believe this part of Wisconsin was near the equator. They theorize that it was surrounded by islands, lagoons, sandy islands, and enclosed bays. The climate was a tropical paradise, similar to the way Florida is these days. And it was supposed to be heavily populated with jellyfish.
And you mentioned that not many predators had evolved yet.
That's right, Jonathan. Well, they also think that means that there weren't animals to disturb the sand in which they were buried.
So how did the jellyfish fossilize, according to evolutionists?
Well, they think the jellyfish swam into the sandy shores here as they migrated, hunted for prey, and reproduced. They believe that waves, possibly from strong storms, would have washed them up on shore. Then more waves covered them with coarse sand. Jonathan, remember how I showed you over there that there are at least 7 different layers?
Yes.
Well, they believe that those layers could have been laid down in one season, or possibly up to 100,000 years. But there's some major questions left in their minds. As a matter of fact, paleontologist Whitey Hagedorn said about his research here, quote, "When people find a T-Rex, that doesn't excite me that much, because a T-Rex has bones and teeth, really easy to fossilize," unquote. Then he went on to say, quote, "But to preserve a jellyfish, that's hard, because it has no hard parts. Something is here we don't understand," unquote.
So this site is still a mystery.
Yes, and that's why we're here.
So when will the boys be back with lunch?
It shouldn't be too long, Ryan. They were getting it from the restaurant downstairs.
So, Katie, what you working on?
I'm trying to find out more about Joseph Kornfeder.
Who's that?
That's named Jonathan, and I heard from those people in the basement of the library. They said he was coming to Mosinee.
Well, look, it says Kornfeder was trained in communism at Moscow's Lenin School. And here it says that he was at the Moscow headquarters of the World Communist Party for nearly 3 years.
Mom, what's communism?
Ryan, remember how we talked about how America's founders knew that God was the rightful ruler of every nation and that governments must stick to the Bible?
Yes.
Well, sadly, many of their countries have been led by tyrants.
Well, what are tyrants?
Well, tyrants are people who want absolute power. They want to run the government without being accountable to their own people or even to God.
So what's that got to do with communism?
Well, Ryan, under communism, these rulers make the God of the Bible illegal. They claim to own everything, and they seize anything they want from people who work very hard. And they try to control every person and every thought. And they pretend that they can solve every problem and meet every human need.
But their ideas are so opposed to the Bible, they get everything backward, even good and evil. They punish good people and reward the bad. Communist rulers all through history are people who ruin their countries with poverty, misery, and much death.
They forgot that the Creator is in control of all things.
Yes, Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance."
So this Kornfeder guy is a real communist?
Well, look, here's a picture of him right here.
Whoa, let me see.
Katie, can you print that out?
Sure thing. Oh, look, it says right here he was arrested in 1922 for his work with the Communist Party of America.
Now, wait a minute. There's something wrong with that.
What?
Yeah, you're right, Mrs. Brennan. Let's say that he was a young man when he was arrested. That would still make him way over 100.
So how could he be here in Mosinee? Is he still alive?
Oh, I don't think so. But he's got to be dead by now.
There's something very strange going on here.
Jonathan, Jim, come over here.
What'd you find, Dad?
I think we have our first piece of evidence.
Oh.
What is it? Look, right here, at these ripples. Do you notice how these stretch over a large part of the site?
Yes, they look like ripples on a lake, frozen in rock.
Look how beautifully they're preserved.
What does that mean?
Well, do you remember how I said that the evolutionists working here believe the jellyfish were deposited and buried by swelling and receding tides?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a problem with that. Jonathan, do you remember our last trip to the beach? When a high tide comes in and creates ripples in the sand, what happens when it recedes?
I'm not sure, Dad.
Well, the receding tide erases the ripples, leaving behind a smooth beach.
That's right.
So it seems that their model doesn't fit the evidence. If it really was alternating tides that helped to bury these jellyfish, these ripples shouldn't be here.
I believe so.
So what would have caused ripples like this?
Jonathan, instead of high and receding tides, what if these ripples were caused by an underwater flow of current? They wouldn't have been erased.
That's why they're still here.
To be preserved in coarse sand like this, the jellyfish need to be covered in a fine silt, and that's what we seem to see. But what would have caused a layer of coarse sand and one of fine silt to be deposited on top of each other?
Fast-moving floodwaters?
Yes, I believe so, Jonathan. And we also see the direction of the ripples changing from layer to layer. I think a large amount of violent and swirling waters explains the differences between ripple directions.
Is this our first evidence for the flood?
I think so, Jonathan. Well, guys, we'll return here tomorrow to excavate our fossils before the press conference. But for now, it's getting late. We need to head back to town and get some sleep.
All right.
Boy, are you cold, Mom?
Yeah, it's a bit nippy outside this morning.
Oh, thank you for coming downtown with me to check out the town hall.
I think it's very wise of you to make sure it's ready before tonight's press conference.
Well, we've had quite a few email responses to the press release we sent out last night.
Yes, and I spoke with Woody Bryant. He arrived early this morning and will be going to the fossil site with your dad, Kendall, and Jonathan. Oh, Jesse, look out! Someone's coming out that door! Jesse, are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I did not see you.
It's okay. I shouldn't have been walking so close to the door.
Oh, are you sure you're okay? Is there any way I can help?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
She seems okay.
Okay, then. Have a good day, lady.
Oh, thank you.
Strange fellow. Did he look familiar to you?
Yeah, he did kind of... Wait a minute. That guy looks exactly like the picture of Joseph Kornfeder.
Oh my goodness, you're right! He was even dressed in the same kind of clothes!
He looked just like he did a long time ago. He hasn't aged a bit!
That is totally impossible.
Mom, we just saw a dead communist leader!
This is getting stranger by the minute.
Welcome to Star Joe's. What would you like?
I'll take a 16-ounce caramel mocha for here and one to go.
Sure thing.
Jim Brennan. My name's Charlie Zink. I'm a reporter for the American Post. I was here in Mosinee for the Krukowski-Corey press conference, and then I heard your team is also having one tonight, so I decided to stick around and get your side of the story.
That'll be $7.
Well, I appreciate it. Here you go.
Well, coincidentally, I was in London covering the Beowulf manuscript robbery. I saw you there.
Really?
I know you're pursuing the thief.
Really?
Yes. Even though the London police supposedly have the thief in their custody, I don't believe he's the right man. However, there's a Japanese-American man who lives in Chichen Itza, in the interior of the Yucatan Peninsula in southern Mexico. I've heard he's known by the missionaries down there as the Jaguar. I thought this might be a good lead for you.
Oh.
I wish I had more.
Wow. That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Two caramel mochas.
That's me.
Okay, I need to run. I'll see you at tonight's conference.
Jim, there you are.
Dad, we just saw Joseph Kornfeder.
Who? The communist leader?
Yes.
I think it's time that you and Kendall go pay the mayor a visit.
So, my secretary said you needed to see me right away.
Mr. Mayor, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but we heard a rumor of a communist takeover.
Here? If that was true, don't you think I would have caught wind of it?
Well, I feel a little silly about this, but someone in our family thought they overheard that someone was going to shoot you later tonight.
Shoot me? Okay, well, thank you for your concern,
Mayor, someone from the Communist Project is online.
Mabel, I heard you! Well, boys, I guess that's my cue to say goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. That was just as weird as everything else going on in this town.
Yeah, and then the phone call? That was the perfect end. Hello, everyone!
Hi! Hey.
So how did it go over at the mayor's office?
Oh.
He didn't believe you?
No, it was more like he already knew something but wasn't saying anything.
Exactly.
I don't know what to do next about this whole communism thing, but I do know that we need to focus on the reason Henry sent us out here for now. Guys, this place looks great!
Oh, well, Dr. Park, we'll have this place completely ready for the conference in another hour or two.
Perfect. Jonathan!
Right here, Dad.
Okay, let's go. You, Jim, and I have got to pick up Woody and get over to the quarry.
Hello, this is Woody Bryant with the Worldwide Gospel Network on location at the Krakowski Quarry in Mosinee, Wisconsin. I'm here with paleontologist Kendall Park. Dr. Park, we're surrounded by tons of fossilized jellyfish.
Yes, well, we believe that we're surrounded by excellent evidence that these fossils were deposited by Noah's flood.
Could you give me an example of why?
Well, Woody, we can observe what happens to jellyfish that are deposited today. As soon as the high tide places them on the beach, the air and sun dry them out and their stomachs collapse and they shrink. So how could these jellyfish remain intact to fossilize if it was a slow, gradual process?
What's a better explanation?
Well, I think they were continually covered by water until they had a chance to fossilize.
Evidence for the flood. What else?
Well, when we observe jellyfish being deposited on a beach, they begin pumping their bell to try and escape. As they pump, it leaves concentric rings in the sand around them. As we study the fossils here, those concentric rings are missing for the most part.
Unless the jellyfish weren't deposited on the beach. So they never tried to escape.
That's right, Woody. Paleontologists claim that these jellyfish are deposited in 7 layers. They aren't sure if it was many storms stretched over 100,000 years or one large storm. By their own admission, evolutionists say that fossilizing jellyfish like this is almost impossible. So to say that it happened multiple times over 100,000 years is completely out of question in my mind.
Anything else?
Well, yes. We're also finding many of these fossils are facing the same direction. Again, evidence that they were deposited by currents, not gradual deposits on the beach. So, for these reasons, I believe that Krakowski Quarry is a great testimony to Noah's flood, the same Noah's flood that we read about in the account of Genesis.
Thank you, Dr. Kendall Park. For the Worldwide Gospel Network, I'm Woody Bryant.
Hello, Kendall.
Hey, Angela. Hey, where's everyone else?
They're all down at the town hall, making the last-minute adjustments for the press conference.
I thought I'd just take a quick shower beforehand. Oh. What's wrong, honey?
I got a call from one of those people that we overheard in the restaurant. Her name was Dana Shantz. Mm-hmm. She said that when we were all finished tonight, that she wants to make a special announcement from the stage.
What do you think this is all about?
I've been hearing so much about communists in town and replacing the mayor and takeovers.
All right, Angela, listen. I don't like my family being in the middle of this. While I'm taking a shower, please contact Jim, Martha, and the others and let them know that I want them packed before the conference begins. And then when I walk on stage, I want you and Martha to drive the kids to La Crosse to stay with your sister. Jim and I will stay here to take a stand for freedom.
Okay, honey. I'll let them know.
Good. Now I better get ready. Then we're going to get going to the conference. Wow, Jesse, there's a lot of media here.
Thank you.
Okay, partner. Well, we better get you up on stage.
Now, Jim, before I go, did Angela talk to you?
Yes, she did.
Jim, I don't know what they're up to, but if something bad breaks loose, we need to protect the women and children.
You're right. Well, they're all packed and ready. And if need be, they'll just head to La Crosse.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, Jesse, let's get this thing started.
Okay.
Excuse me. If I could please get your attention. As you know, we have some exciting announcements concerning the fossils at Krakowski Quarry. So, at this time, I'd like to introduce our host. He has a PhD in vertebrate paleontology, Dr. Kendall Park.
Thank you, Jesse. While we've heard that those jellyfish were buried gradually, we think that there's excellent evidence that they were buried and fossilized very rapidly. So rapidly, as a matter of fact, that we find no evidence of worm burrows at the site. Why not? Surely over thousands of years, worms would have been present. But the alternative is that it happened very rapidly. And that is what I'd like to present to you tonight.
Dad's doing a great job, isn't he, Mom?
Yes, he is, Jonathan.
Oh, no. Well, look over there.
It's a man dressed like a Soviet soldier. Look, another one just came through the door.
They're all standing against the back wall.
All right, we were afraid of this. All right, tell the others. I want us all to meet outside. We're sending you onto La Crosse now.
And that wraps up our statements about the Krukowski Quarry. But before I leave the stage, I feel compelled to say one last thing. I know that many don't accept the biblical worldview, even though, as I have just presented, the science completely fits. However, it was the faith of our founding fathers in the Bible that became the foundation of this country. They believed in the rights of every American to worship their Creator and to raise their families in His ways. And many have fought and died for that liberty. Let's always take a stand for what is right, no matter how hard it is. And now I've been instructed to call Dana Shands to the stage.
Thank you. Back in 1950, a group of men set out to demonstrate the power of a communistic society. Now, more than 50 years later, a group of us have been working secretly to carry forth that same mission.
Boy, there are Soviet uniforms all over the place. Jim, it's hard to believe this is actually happening.
Oh. Kendall, Angela wanted to say one last goodbye to you before they leave. They're waiting in the cars right in front.
Well, I'll see them off and I'll be right back.
Okay.
You keep listening.
All right, go.
Many of you were unaware that while Dr. Park was speaking, several men dressed in Soviet uniforms have lined the back walls. We thought it would be a memorable way to introduce the making of our new IMAX documentary. This film will tell the story
Kendall, wait.
Of... wait! On May Day of
listen.
1950.
Listen!
In May of 1950, the town of Mosiny staged a mock communist takeover as a demonstration. They brought in a former communist leader, Joseph Kornfeder, who ruled as the town's dictator for the day. It was this city's way of demonstrating to the world the evils of communism. For the last few days, we've been secretly reenacting the events of 1950, even bringing in actor Jed Bankoff, who has a remarkable resemblance to Joseph Kornfeder. With the mayor's help, we kept our shooting a secret. It was critical to keep the public from interfering with our delicate filming schedule, although some of you caught on. So with that, we are excited to announce the upcoming release of the IMAX documentary, A Day Under Communism.
I don't even know what to say.
Me either, except that I feel like a real idiot.
And all of you are invited to a special reception that we're throwing in the top floor of the town library. Please come
Kendall?
And join us to find out more about the documentary.
I feel relieved.
Me too. Boy, did we make a mistake.
You can say that again.
Welcome to the reception.
Thank you.
Well, guys, I think we learned a valuable lesson today.
Yeah, that's for sure. Here we jump to a wrong conclusion.
When I saw the concentration camp,
the flyers,
the flags,
and even what we believed was the communist leader,
we concluded that communists were about to take over the city.
And so we fit all our observations into our theory. Mm. And that's the same thing that can happen in science. Mm. Evolutionists and creationists can look at the same data and arrive at two totally different ideas.
So if we can interpret the evidence in two different ways, how do we know which one's right?
Well, Ryan, we have to ask ourselves which one fits the facts better. And in the case of fossils, we almost always find evidence of a mass inundation of water, evidence of currents and massive graveyards where tons of animals were mixed together in a jumbled mess. Does that better fit the idea that animals were dying and fossilizing slowly, or does it better talk about a huge water catastrophe?
A water catastrophe.
I agree. Besides, most importantly, we have to base our theories on truth. And truth comes from God's word.
Hello, guys.
Oh, hey. Hi.
Everyone, this is Charlie Zink with the American Post.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So, Jim, I just wanted to let you know something else about the jaguar.
Jaguar?
I just heard from one of my contacts in the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yes?
They believe they saw him just a few days ago in Chichen Itza.
Really?
Do I hear the next adventure of the creation response team?
All right, we're going to the Mayan pyramid.
Yes!
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Red Menace. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team searches for the Beowulf manuscript in the jungles of the Yucatan, in Jonathan Park and the ancient city of the Jaguar.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.